Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here in your presence and just raise our voice and singing and praising you, because we know you love us even though we are not worthy, but you still love us and saving us. For the rest of the time, we give the glory to you. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me, using me to share the message from your word and only from your word. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be in the heart of the people in this room so it can hear your voice and apply your principle to their life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We are in the second week of Advent about faith. So today I'm going to share with you about faith to discern based on the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 1 to 12. Because you would understand real life always has sharp unexpected. And sometimes when we look back to our life, you look back to the past, you see sometimes in our life is a lot of twists and turns. And the same thing may happen for the future. So sometimes when you look back, you find out you react to the moment of the surprise, because life sometimes is a lot of surprise. And sometimes when we react to those moments with a surprise, or sometimes with despair, or different ways, depend on individual. Apostle Paul was successful because his reaction to the unexpected was based on of the knowing God. So that reason why, when you know in God, just like the three songs you sing this morning, when you know in Him, you can react based on what you know in God. Because when you understand about God, you would find out He stands above on the unexpected, on the twist and turn of your life. So if He stands above all of that, He knows what's going on in your life. So when you pray to Him, you react based on what you know about Him, everything will turn out to be all right. For the last few days, I spent a lot of time in the hospital, because you know one of our beloved church member, father, just passed away at 9:45 yesterday. And for the next probably week, our church will conduct the funeral for him. So pray for Gudrun family, the Gudrun Johan family, and of course their children. But not only I go to the 8th floor of the hospital, but I also visit the 5th floor of the hospital. There are also the young man, 21 years old. His name is Christian. He also in the hospital because of heart problem. So when, I'm travel up and down based on the hospital, Herman Memorial Hospital, and I'm thinking about the life of the people, the life of you and I, sometimes have a lot of unexpected, unplanned happen. So we need to be ready for that. So if we go back to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 12, and let me go back the background a little bit. When you study the book of Acts from chapter 8 to chapter 12, the Christian begin to move out of Jerusalem because of the persecution. And of course, a lot of circumstance has happened to them. So they scatter on over the land. And the book of Acts, chapter 13 to chapter 21, a little bit different, because now it's identified three distinctive missionary trips from Apostle Paul. And the text today, you would find out, is the beginning of the first missionary trip of Paul. And when you study about Paul, you would find out Paul, he also relied on Barnabas, because Paul, his reputation is not that good because he's the one who persecuted the Christian at his time. And even though he believed in Christ, he converted, but the people still had doubt about him. So that reason why he relied on Barnabas, well-known, good reputation, faithful believer at that time, help him to rebuild Paul, to make sure the people understand Paul now is a true believer. He's a real converted person. And when the gospel spread to Antioch, and then Barnabas, he come to Paul and asked Paul to join him in Antioch to help teaching, to be the teacher of the church. And Antioch, the background a little bit, Antioch is a city, the major city in Syria. And Syria and Antioch feature very much like multi-ethnic, multi-culture at that time. And Antioch was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. The reason you need to understand the background, because the gospel spread in Antioch, and from Antioch, the gospel spread on over place through Paul and Barnabas for the first missionary trip, and of course Paul for the second and the third. So when the gospel spread to the city, you would understand that both the Jews and Gentiles became believers. And this multicultural group found itself living in fellowship. And when the famine happened in the land at that time, they are generously provide relief for their fellow believers in the distant Jerusalem. So just like us, we scatter, you know, in America, all over place, around the world. And we very much imitate the Church of Antioch. When something happened in other places, we generously, you know, donate, provide relief to all the believers in troubles. So from the background, prepare the Church of Antioch well as the first to send the missionaries to share the gospel to the people from other places. And that's the background. So to understand faith, to discern what happened going on in chapter 13, three things it happened from verse 1 to verse 12. You would understand how they accept assignment, and how they recognize a roadblock, and how they counter conclusively when they deal with the issue. And that issue, it can be happened to your life and to the church. So accept the response, the assignment. And verse 1 to 3, in the church that was at Antioch, there was prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, then Cyrenian, Manan, a close friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So when you study about the name of the people, you see five names that happen up there, okay? And the first one is, of course, if you take away Barnabas and Paul or Saul, there's Simeon, Lucius, and Manan. Simeon, the name, the Hebrew name or Aramaic name, very much identify he grew up in as a Jewish background. But again, he's called Niger, the Latin name, meaning is a black. So he's talking about, yes, even though he grew up as a Jew, probably his family, like immigrant from Africa. And Lucius, the Cyrenian, the Greek name, so the name, when he's talking about he come from a Cyrene, the region of North Africa, west of Egypt, is to study the map. So probably he also from Africa. So here we're talking about two leaders of the church of Antioch, their background from Africa, and the leader of the church. Okay? And the name one end, a close friend of Herod, okay, very much the king at that time. So probably he come from the upper class, very wealthy and powerful. So the reason when they defy the finance, the leader of the church, they give us the ideas of the church of Antioch, the ideas that the gospel truly penetrate all segments of population at that time. Okay, so we're talking about the people from Africa, different cultural and different ethnic, the people from upper classes, wealthy, okay, different segment of population, and we talk about Barnabas, you know, his root from Cyrus, and we talk about Saul from, you know, different region, also very high education. So we talk about the church at that time from the leadership perspective, from different background, different ethnics, and also different culture and the way they grow up. So that's the image of the church from the book of Acts at that time. And you can find out, as they minister to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them to." Then after they had fasted and prayed, and they lay hands on them, they sent them off. So what exactly happened in verse 2 and 3 here? So the leader received direction from the Holy Spirit. The contents of the communication is very much a summon for the two of their number, is mean 2 out of 5, have to be shared with the world at large. The other three have to ratify and support God's summons. So the purpose of them is very, very clear. This is a message from God. It's mean to push forward God's program of witnesses to Christ to the ends of the earth, based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you, when you study this passage, you would find out the leader of the church, they pray, they fast, and they place hand on Barnabas and Saul in the ways to show that they pray for God's blessing and power to be with them. And with that, the two missionaries depart, not even know what lay ahead of them. They don't even know what going on, you know, in the future, what would they face. So what lesson we learn from here? The lesson we learn, or the principle we learn, as a leader of the group, as a leadership of the church, if you're in the leadership position, you need to pray and fast when you make some decision, because you have to get the direction from God. And when you pray and you fast together as a leadership group, God will reveal the plan. God reveal what we need to do. And sometimes God even give the clear instruction, the step or the process we need to proceed. So how can the church do better in the era of prayerful decision making at the leadership level? I know some of you in this room, you're in leadership position. Do you really, as the group of leaders, gather together, pray together, fast together, and pray for direction from God, direction for the worship ministry? So the decision based on God's direction, because as a human being, as individual, we are the sinner. We always try to do something for us, for me, for ourselves, because our selfish nature, we always want to push our own agenda to the church, or even our own agenda for whatever the program we decide or we want to do. And we go back to chapter 13. It's reminding us as a leadership need to pray, to fast, and let God reveal the direction and the program. And the same thing, the love of missile group, the ministry group, or even when you gather together in small group, when you say, "I'm going to do something," is that the direction from God? How do you know if you didn't get together and pray and fast. And that's how the Antioch church grew. And that's how the Antioch church can send a missionary, send Barnabas and Paul for the first missionary trips. And eventually Paul and the group to the second and the third. With clear direction, clear instruction, and with a blessing from the Holy Spirit, with God's blessing and a power being with them, so they can work without stress. Well, they stress, but it's not overburdened, so to get burned out and get the support from the team to move forward. And even at the level of individual, some of you probably in school, in college, as an individual, sometimes do you have a question, is this what you want me to do? Or even when you study, you pick your major for study, is this a major God want me to pursue for the future? So that reason why you need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit provide you clear direction and instruction. And everything else would fall in place. Yesterday, when I pray for the family, you know, the grandfather and the father just passed away, and one of my family said, "Well, can Pastor, can you pray for us?" But again, this family, 50% very much believe in Christ, another 50% is not. So there is some opposition, and one person really vocal say, "No, I don't want it. You need to guard out here. If you pray, pray hallway." But again, another 50% say, "No, we want him to pray here. So that's the twist and turn, you know, sometimes we have to face. And all I do is just, I pray. Pray quietly, and eventually the family agree, yes, pray for us. And the same thing when you go through life, a lot of twists and turns in life. And I can't, sometimes I said it, sometimes is the change in direction, or the chaos, or certain challenge in life that happened. And you need to be ready, you know, with God's will. Pray to Him so you have clear mind and clear direction and instruction to deal with. So, when they get direction, and of course they follow the plan. The Bible says, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they came down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Arriving to Salamis, they proclaimed God's message in the Jewish synagogues, and they also had John as their assistant. So what happened here? Okay, they start from Antioch, and they go to Cilicia, very much like the coastal on the east side. And from that, they sail to Cyprus, the island. They stop in Salamis and then Paphos, at the direction of this passage. But the key, you study this passage, you would find out, number one, they sent out by the Holy Spirit. So Barnabas and Paul, they receive the same message, just like another three. So on fire leadership, when they pray, they receive the direction from the Holy Spirit as they send out Barnabas and Paul. And when with that sent out by the Holy Spirit, direction and instruction from the Holy Spirit, the two not even hesitate. They, by their obedience, they go out, they move. And the second principle you will learn, they proclaim God's message. Sometimes we forgot about this. They proclaim, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they proclaim God's message, not their own message. And of course, we have a lot of story to tell. But come to the bottom line, to spread the gospel, you have to tell God's message. So if I ask you, if you had to share God's message or the gospel, what exactly is it you want to share? How do you share the gospel? What message do you share? If you don't know, not know enough, so at least you still know one Bible verse, right? How many of you still remember John 3:16? Stand up. If any of you, if you memorize John 3:16, stand up and read it for me.
Verse 6 to 8, they recognize the roadblock. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came across a sorcerer, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. So who is this guy? Bar-Jesus is meaning son of Jesus. Bar is meaning son. Jesus, son of Jesus. So of course he not Jesus Christ, son. The word Jesus is also the root from Joshua, a very popular name, Joshua, Jesus, Joshua. So the name Joshua is very popular. So he carried the name Bar-Jesus, the son of Joshua. What did he do? He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul to desire to hear God's message. But Elymas, the sorcerer, this is the meaning of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from faith. I want you to imagine with me. The two missionaries in Cyprus, they had to do something right. They had to do something right in the city of Salamis. So the impact of them somehow get on the way to Paphos, like where the proconsul resides. Up to the point, he summoned Barnabas and Saul, come and see him. He desired to hear God's message. And Elymas opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from faith. So I imagine he probably, when the proconsul, when Paul and Barnabas talked to him, the proconsul, when they say few sentences, he kept jumping in and interrupt. And he jumping in and challenging whatever the two missionaries say. So it's go through that process. So when it's just like when you share the gospel to the people and somebody keep jumping in, what about this? How do you know for sure? What? So you say few sentences and then they interrupt. Few sentences and they interrupt. So I think that probabilities happen when Elymas opposed to the missionary when they try to share the message. But Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, he very much stared straight to the sorcerer and said, "You, son of the devil, full of all deceit and all fraud, enemy of unrighteousness, won't you ever stop perverting the straight path of the Lord?" So when Pony recognized this man tried to interrupt the gospel message, God's word, he very much counteract. Okay? Very much counteract, stare at this person, and very much like straight talk to the man, "You, full of deceit, you, the son of devil, you, stop perverting the straight paths of the Lord." When I read this, somehow I'm reflecting back on the time of Paul when he persecuted the Christian. And it looked like he used the same sentence which the Lord Jesus Christ very much punished Paul at that time. Won't you ever pervert the straight paths of the Lord? So it's kind of interesting, it's kind of irony. What happened to Paul before, and now Paul used exactly the same straight talk of the Lord and apply to Elymas at that time. And if you continue to read, you would find out the same thing happened to Elymas, it's happened to Paul way back. When I read through this, and the question I would ask myself, or even the church, what circumstances today call for strong confrontation rather than gentler approach? Because a lot of things in life, yes, sometimes we approach kind of gently. But what issue we have to confront? And that's something, you have to think about. You need to understand about this, because sometimes certain issues in life you have to confront. You cannot just sweet talk. So certain issues we deal with today, even in your life, you have to confront. What is it? For individual, and then you need to go back to the Bible. What exactly the principle of the Bible try to teach in us, try to keep us on the straight path. It's just like last week. The Bible said when you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, you have everlasting life. You have salvation. So if suddenly somebody come to you and said, no, it's not. So it's mean it is opposite from the Bible, the principle we learn. And then we have to confront that to defend our faith. And some other issue of the society today, sometimes we have to confront. We cannot just approach gently. The issue of praise, the issue of homosexual, the issue of abortion, a lot of social issues, sometimes we have to confront. We cannot approach gently. Especially when we deal with faith. And a lot of things around us right now is very much in the word. So I pray to the Lord, we are the light of the world. We are salt of the earth. And eventually, as a Christian, we have to deal with the social issue. We have to confront the issue. And the same thing regarding tension between the church and the culture, we're going to deal with. And the same thing, the tension within the church. If there is a tension within the church, do we approach gently or we approach? We have to confront the issue. Lately, a lot of church dealing with false doctrine, false prophet. And that is the church had to confront. When something hit the basic doctrine, the basic faith, we had to confront. And everything else, we can approach gently. You would find out a lot of Vietnamese church in America, and somehow they get import, they call it Mother of God, into the church. And initially I thought it's only happened in Korea, it happened in Vietnam, and now it's also happening in America. And lately it's also talking about the mixture of pagan belief and the Christian belief, Christ belief, together begin to mix in the church. And I pray to the Lord, we as a church, what you suggest, we need to go back to the scripture and understand what is the basic faith, whatever we believe, based on the scripture, so we can be just like the Bible said, straight paths of the Lord. So he provided the evidence. Now look, the Lord's hand is against you. You are going to be blind and will not see the sun for a time. Suddenly a mist of darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. If you read this, do you remember something happened to Paul way back? He also be blind for like 3 days. The same thing has happened for Elimas. So this is just like the temporary blindness for a couple of days. But anyway, but it showed Elimas is a false prophet, because the punishing of the Lord will be upon him. And it's happened. And it happened. Some of you, let me go back a little bit. Some of you, you might deal with some of the issues I call it false spirituality. And it happened a lot, especially in Houston lately. And if you remember, it's only like about a year ago, real close to our church. I think they already taken away already with the new owner. Okay, the shopping center next to us, And there's a advertisement about, you know, with $5 or $10, you can go and see. What do they call that thing? Yeah, the psychic. You know, they advertise with the hand, and $5 to see. That thing is. Okay. And yeah, I need to. And sometimes you would find out it's horoscope. A lot of Christians, a lot of believers, now they treat horoscope just like something is normal. And if we're not careful, it's create a false spirituality to us, something we need to watch out. So when things happen like that, and the broke household see what happened, believe, and were astonished at the teaching about the Lord. And he believed in Christ after that. So as a holiday season, we need to understand and need to figure out, just like I already revealed with you, John 3:16, how to present the gospel for your acquaintance, for family member, and to the stranger. So faith to discern is always about accept assignment. The direction has to be from the Holy Spirit. The plan and the program have to be from the Lord. We have to recognize when we do anything, always have to deal with the roadblocks and try to figure out the way to overcome it. And always have to deal with the issue, or confront it, or resolve it gently. And that's what we need to do. So let us stand up and we pray, because the people in the back already wave their hands and run after. Let's pray together. Our dear Jesus, may we trust the Holy Spirit guidance rather than our own planning. Teach us to follow you as we live in uncertainty, for you are the only certainty we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much, because today your word reminding us we live in a culture with a mix of false and a mix of truth. So I pray that we have ability to discern the difference. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to go through during this time. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the folks, all the people in this room from now and forever. Amen.